It's great to be here again. I'll come to some personal thanks, but for our wife, my wife and son's sake, our two-year-old son, Luke, he's a 7-Eleven baby, born on the 11th of July. Very convenient way. My wife, Patsy, has taught him so many things, so I don't take the credit for this. She gets the credit. We've just gone, you know, shortly past the 4th of July, so our son, Luke, will do the Pledge of Allegiance for us this morning. Put your hands on. Down your heart, on your heart. On your heart, yeah, on your heart. That's right.
One nation under, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah! Thank you. For 2 years old, he's got an incredible vocabulary, hippopotamus, binoculars, power antenna, telescope, calculator. He says all these words. So, we were at a pastor's house here last week, and they brought this shape store. You know, the Tupperware shape store, you put those shapes in the store and everything. I said, oh, this might interest him. I said, hold on, he'll tell you what the pieces are. And I held up this one particular four-sided piece. I said, look, what's this? And he says, trapezoid. And the pastor says, wow, I didn't know it was called that. It's like, this is this generation that's coming up. Well, but then people who were my students here, who are now young men and women, know I used to teach math and stuff, so some of the secrets come out. I want to begin with a vote of our heartfelt thanks to this particular Dove Effort Alliteratz fellowship meeting here, because over this past year, just in case there's some in the congregation who are not aware of this, the Lord has further bonded your hearts as a congregation, local congregation, to the ministry, missions ministry of App Foundation. You'll have become a monthly financial partner of this ministry. I'm just telling it like it is instead of, you know, being sophisticated about saying it. That's okay. So we're very grateful for that. It has been our vision. Just to give you something to think about, an Assemblies of God missionary, they itinerate about 50 or 60 churches, and each of those churches support them like $100 a month and stuff. So if one church closes down, it doesn't make a big difference to the missionary. You know, Baptists, Southern Baptists, they do the same thing. But with a charismatic missionary, if your home church closes down, you can come home. You know? So we felt the Lord challenging us to say, no, now is the time, like he showed Joseph in the fat years, to store up for the lean years that were to come. And he showed us, you lay your hearts before the leaders of other charismatic churches and trust and believe me to let other congregations hook up, so that this ministry that I've entrusted to y'all will go on, it's not based on any one local church's support primarily. So we're very grateful for that, and we thank you, Pastor Duane, and the other elders and leaders, Bob and Lester, you know, who God's... So we want to say thank you to all of you for that. As such, we're also more accountable to you directly. So feel free to ask me. We're sharing on finances. Feel free to ask us any questions you wish, and we'll be happy to answer them one-on-one. This past year, just to give you an overview of what God's been doing, we have traveled, driven thousands upon thousands of miles in Australia, up and down, you know, as far north as Rockhampton, Queensland, and as far south as Orange in New South Wales. And if you check a map on that, that's far west as Dubbo and Gundawindi. Thousands upon thousands of miles traveling and itinerating and ministering and giving of ourselves. That's including my wife and my son Luke. And that's a lot of miles to take your little baby, but we just take a few more breaks, you know. But he's a real trooper. He goes along wonderfully well. So that's been exciting. Also, the Lord has opened up this year a door for us in New Zealand. So when we go back, actually it'll be in the month of November, there's a charismatic congregation in the Northern Ireland, North Island, and another one in the South Island in Hamilton and Christchurch. They've both invited us, so we'll be ministering there. And in fact, teaching the same seminar we'll be beginning this morning, financial seminar. So that's exciting. Also this past year, we began, now I challenge you to please listen closely to this. If we say something, it really happened. If you get what I'm trying to say. This past year, we began our first session or semester of Bible college in the Fiji Islands in the South Pacific. Inasmuch as Hawaii is north of the equator, Fiji is south of the equator. Just as tropical, just not as lavish, you know. But we began February, March, April, May, these 4 months. And on May 31st, Friday, we graduated our first ever batch of 41 students from Apt Bible College, ABC, in the Fiji Islands. The Bible College is already officially recognized with the Fijian government. Of those 41 students, 7 of them were senior pastors of local churches. So they've gone back now dedicated to sending batches of their congregation for next year's school. So we, with a very conservative, Lancaster County conservative estimate, would guesstimate about 50 to 60 could really be more students next year for 1997. Next year we're running it August, September, October, November because it's cooler both for the students as well as for our lecturers that come from the States. So, let me just share with you now, we're going to be sharing on finances and the whole theme of giving. This could not have fit in a better time, in a better way. Let me share with you what God did. It's like a string of 5 miracles within these 4 months of Feb, March, April, May of this year, 1996. We began the Bible College February 5th, which was the first Monday this February. We had about 50 students all up to the course, but we stuck to our guns. We had certain criteria for graduation, and 41 graduated. So they'll respect us for that. We've started off on the right foot from the first year. About 2 weeks after we began, the senior pastor of a Pentecostal denomination in the Fiji Islands, about 25 churches all up in their denomination, came to me and said this. He said, "Brother Andrew, our denomination owns, I mean free and clear, we've had this for years and years, 4 acres of freehold land," which I'll explain freehold in a minute there, 1.25 hour from the International Airport of Fiji, Nandi International Airport, on the highway, which is very important because once you get off the highway there, it's just rubble and dirt roads, 1.25 acres, 4 acres, 1.25 hour from the International Airport, on the highway, and you just walk across the highway, there's the ocean. We would like to give, G-I-V-E, give. This is not American or Australian or New Zealander. This is Fijian, third worlders. We would like to give it to you because we know you started the Bible College. You have seen, God has put it in your hearts, you and Patsy, to come to our nation, to invest in our people, to invest your time and the resources of your connections and your finances. So we want to give this to you for the future campus of App Bible College. I didn't have to do much praying about that. But, you know, this is a challenge from the Lord. This is from a developing nation. That's the tactful way of saying third world country. When I'm there, I say developing. When I'm here, I say third world, just to relate. Just to let you know, you switch gears. He said, "We want to give it to you." I said, "Thank you so much, but please don't give it to me. Deed it over in the name of the Bible College." So it has been done. 4 acres of freehold land has been deeded to App Bible College. Adjacent to that is 2 acres, also freehold land, belonging to a lady who is, to be blunt, in a bedridden condition, living in Auckland, New Zealand. This pastor knew her personally when she lived in Fiji. He called her on my behalf and said, "Would you consider selling it to us, to our Pentecostal church?" She called back and said, "Well, I'll sell it to you for $35,000, 2 acres. And my heart kind of sank. I thought, would it have been great to have 6 acres? So we prayed. Really, he prayed, I agreed. You don't mind me telling you the truth. Is that okay? He prayed much more powerful than I could. I just agreed, and I said, "Please call her back on my dime. Call her now." And he did so. I said, "Make an appeal. Appeal to her. Tell her this is for a Bible college. Don't tell her my name. She doesn't know who I am. And appeal to her that maybe she might even want to consider donating it." You know, why not? So he called her and she said, "Well, give me some time." And she called a week later when I was now back in Brisbane in our office in Brisbane, Australia. And he faxed me. He said, "Wonderful news. She's dropped the price from $35,000 down to $15,000. The next day, we wired over $16,000. That means we had that cash. I'm just telling you the truth like it was. We've already been setting aside for land. So we wired over $16,000, the extra $1,000 for lawyers' fees for the legal transaction. So we now have 6 acres of freehold land, 1.25 hours from the International Airport on the highway opposite the ocean. Now let me explain to you what freehold in Fiji means. 83% of all of Fiji's land is native lease. That means the native, frizzy-haired, local Pacific Islander, Melanesian, Polynesian, Fijian. Only they can own it. You can be a billionaire and you can't own a cent of land. You can only lease it from them. And next year, 97, is when the leases expire throughout Fiji. So people are terrified. Those who own the farming lands, I mean, the locals now can just jack up the lease price or they can say goodbye, just leave. And it's quite in the doldrums. Another 7% or so is Crown lease, which we would say federal government owns it and they lease it with the same conditions. Only about 6 or 7% of all Fiji's land is freehold land. Now freehold land is premium land, costs the most. Here's why. Are you ready for this? I'm sure there are people here who own your house free and clear in these United States. You paid off the mortgage. So what if you own it free and clear? You still have to pay your real estate taxes. And even if you go to heaven, the people who inherit it from you will still have to pay real estate taxes. Freehold land in Fiji means there's no real estate taxes, period. So even if we did nothing with that 6 acres, we don't pay a cent till Jesus comes.
Wow.
And even if we put on $2 million worth of plant and structure, we won't pay a cent. There's no such thing as reassessment of the property. So that is just miraculous.
Amen.
Now we're talking about giving and the spirit of giving. I haven't yet started the hard hitting. This is just the loving part. You know what this pastor told me? His first name is Jitoko. He says, call me Chicago if you don't get it. Chicago. So Chicago comes to me, Pastor Dwayne, can I have you for an exam? I mean, this, what, and this young man too. I mean, not that you're not young, we're all young. Here's exactly what this, you see the maturity of this man of God. He's the senior pastor of a denomination. He said this to me. You know, he says, let's just say this to him. He says, Brother Andrew, you know, this land, this 4 acres, he was talking, giving it to us, they've already done it. He said, you know, Jesus is my elder brother, according to the word of God. And Jesus is your elder brother too. And we are both brothers too. So the three of us are all brothers. Now, can you imagine me selling that land to Jesus? He said, I could never do that. If I were to sell this land to you, to me, he said, it would be the equivalent of selling it to Jesus. I could never do that. Therefore, in his broken English, he said, therefore, we give it to you, brother.
Mm. Great. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That is real. It's not from any book. It's our life. It just happened this February. That's about 2 weeks after the Bible College began operating. Classes were being conducted. They did this. It was deeded over to us. Then another, you know, 2 weeks or so was when this 2 acres else was purchased. So we have the 6 acres. Just watch the string of miracles. The only thing the land had was power, electricity. No water. It has a well on the property, which praise God for. No water, no phone or fax lines. About another 10 days after the land was deeded to us. I know you're with me, just so much. It's so incredible. Another 10 days after the land was deeded to us, one of the 7 pastors, remember 7 of the students were senior pastors of local churches? One of them has a motorcycle, which App Foundation, this ministry, was able to provide him with through CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association.
Yeah.
They gave us funds for 2 motorcycles last year. So God's, you know, this is a networking in the kingdom. Maybe you ride bike, maybe you run for the sun too. That's what they call it, right? So this one brother, who lives close by where the land is, rides his bike 1 hour to school. He comes about 10 days after the land was deeded over and says, Brother Andrew, just yesterday the Fiji government laid water pipes by your property. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't even have a chance to pray about it yet. I was still so overwhelmed with the gift of the land. And this is not like the USA, you know, you go and you file, fill in the forms and you approach the governmental department. This can take ages in these places. It's never been done since the time the world was created. 10 days after it was deeded to us, the rubble is still loose there where the pipes have been laid. So we didn't have to make any petition, not even send up a prayer. That's the sovereignty of God. We need to keep pace with Him. The only thing left was the phone and fax lines. So I got my local administrator to approach Telecom, which is the name of the only phone company in the nation. It's not like, hey, you have MCI, Sprint, Bell of Pennsylvania, Bell Atlantic, you know, Lifeline, praise God for Lifeline. Hey, okay, anyhow. So, Telecom Fiji. I was back in Australia. I asked my local administrator to contact Telecom Fiji for the Western Division, which is the side of the nation we are on. He sent me a fax. He got a reject letter from Fiji saying, because the land is 5 minutes drive from the closest town. Now for us, that's a joke. But in those countries, not everyone has a car. So 5 minutes drive is a long walk. So they consider it remote. So because it's 5 minutes drive from the nearest town, which has its own telephone exchange, we would have to pay an upfront fee of $2,500 for them to erect the 30 telephone posts between the town and our land, and to span the cable. $2,500 up front, plus $80 rental per line per month. So if you wanted one phone and one fax, it's $160 per month, even if you didn't make a call. So I thought, this is bad news. My administrator faxed this to me in Brisbane. This is the first bit of bad news I got, by the way. Faxed this to me in the office. I picked it up. I was a bit despondent, kind of took that thing over, came to our kitchen dining area where we have our phone connection. And this is what I sensed. In retrospect, I can say I know this was the Holy Spirit. I'm not the kind of guy who overuses my hotline to heaven and says, God told me, God told me. You know, it could be us too sometimes in the flesh. But we know this was the Lord. I came by the phone and with this prompting in my spirit, pick up that phone, call the operator. I'm in Brisbane, Australia. Call the operator, get the phone number of the Fijian ambassador to Australia in Canberra, and talk to him and tell him what you want. I've never talked to an ambassador before, but I was just compelled. I picked it up, got the operator, said, give me the phone number of so-and-so. She gave me the number. I called the number. The receptionist picked up. I said, this is Reverend Andrew Taylor calling from Brisbane, Australia. I mean, you got to be official in certain places. I said, and I want to talk to the Fijian ambassador to Australia. Just a moment, sir. And he came on. And I told him what happened about the reject letter and how much it's going to cost. He said, Reverend Taylor, you fax over to this number in my office that reject letter, and you send a cover letter stating what you're going to do and the purpose why you're going to do it. He said, and I'll see what I can do. I said, thank you, sir, very much. And if you work in the islands, you know, you don't just take someone at their word. I said, now, if I don't hear back from you in a week's time, can I call you back? Oh, sure you can. I never heard back in a week, so I called him back. I said, any progress? He said, well, I've sent it on. I faxed it over to Fiji. I said, now, if I don't hear you from another week, can I call you back again? Okay. You know, it was kind of waning. At the end of 3 weeks, me keeping on his case, you know, God, you know, he moves sovereignly, but we need to act, too, on his behalf. We can't just sit back and just expect it to happen. So at the third call, he said, here's the number, phone number for the man in Fiji. Call him yourself. I faxed it to them. So I called Fiji at prime time, which I don't like to do. I usually call off-peak time on the weekends. But you have to call it prime time if you want to get someone in an office. We're talking about finances or stewardship, right? That's just part of our lives. As you sow, you'll reap. I had to call prime time. The guy says, yeah, we got the fax from the ambassador. I think we can do it. Listen to me now. That sounds like Charles Stanley, teacher. Listen to me. Now listen, okay? I said, all right, thank you very much. Can I have it in writing on telecom letterhead to this mailbox, please? He said, okay, and nothing happened. So we were back, while the Bible College continued, we were back to lecture and do an Easter conference in April. Now follow the progression of time. I was introduced to the chief executive officer, CEO of Telecom Fiji, for the Western Division, on the Thursday before Good Friday. His name was John. I sat down. In about 8 minutes, I explained to him what we wanted to do and how the ambassador had sent the facts. I said, this is all we're asking for. Five lines. By now I had jacked up the number of lines. You know, one phone and fax for our residents as the dean, one phone and fax for the Bible College, and one pay phone for the student body. You know, he finished listening to me, this chief executive officer of Western Division Fiji. This was the last straw. This is all we needed to get yet. And he says to me after I'm done, he says, Reverend Taylor, God moves in mysterious ways. Chief Executive Officer John Hanga was a born-again Christian sitting and listening to my story. This is the Thursday before Good Friday, this Easter. He said, come back to me. I still told him, even though he said God moves in mysterious ways, I wanted the letter. I wanted the letter. And I appreciate that. Give it in writing. He said, come back to me on Tuesday afternoon. Now, Tuesday afternoon is the next working day because Good Friday is a holiday, Saturday, Sunday, Easter, Monday is a holiday. So he said, come back to me, in effect, on the afternoon of the next working day because I need to meet with the other heads of departments. Every year, the Fijian government in Suva allots so many dollars for each division. And out of our dollars, I need to get the consent of the other heads of departments that we will take so much of that money for your Bible school project. So I came back on Tuesday afternoon. He's so cool, just picks this envelope off his table and hands it to me. But I have to see it, so I lift it. Opened it. I'm just being real. Opened it and says, we're happy to inform you on telecom letterhead that we are able to provide you with telephone line to the campus at such and such location. I've also taught English. Telephone line is singular. I mean, I said, excuse me, John, but it says telephone line. He says, Reverend Taylor, here's what that means. That means that we will put in those 30 telephone posts. We will span the cable. From there, you can have 10 or 15 connections if you want. It makes no difference to us. So this is the hand of God in a string, in a series of miracles, hot off the press. Then he said, you must come back to me in about a month's time. The miracles aren't over yet. Watch this. In a month's time with all the drawings, you know, this is one of those drawings, to prove to us that, you know, we're saying we're serious, you prove to us that you're serious. And you know, it costs a pretty penny. I'll just give you an idea. I just talked last week with the pastor of the Quarryville Lord's House of Prayer congregation, Stu Osborne. I like accountability. I don't just pull things from the air. You can cross-reference me anytime. He said, Andrew, this week we are pouring the concrete for their building. They've never had a building thus far. He said, we paid $25,000 just for the drawings. You know, you can cross-reference me anytime you want. So now listen to this part. He said, come back to me in a month's time, the CEO said, with the drawings. God raised up a spirit-filled local Fijian man, broken English, but he knows his job. He's in construction. His deal is that he does the drawings for free. So he sat with me for 25 minutes. And I can't draw. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about the integrity of a structure of a building. You need to be a qualified draftsman or architect. And I just talked with him for 25 minutes in words. I put the vision out. He came back in less than a week with a whole slew of drawings on this, you know, blueprints. And I like, suddenly it began to grow. The vision was now taking shape. And I said, boy, what can I do for you? This is incredible. He said, well, just the paper cost, he said, $20 if you want us. Sure, $20. Take it. Then after about a week of me looking at the drawings, I thought, no, wait, I want this to be changed. I've got, you know, I want a little bigger here. I want this a little, you know. And so I called him back, and he went through. He came back again with a whole slew of changed drawings. And then I said to myself, I said, I can't, this is so much of work this man's put. And I took out $50. I gave it to him. I said, please, James, take this. He looks at $50. Brother Andrew, that's too much. So this is another miracle of God. It's too much, he tells me. I went armed with these drawings to the chief executive officer. He said, come back in 1 month's time. He took a photocopy of the overview of the buildings, which I'll show you in a second, Cindy, if you want to come and be ready. And he then networked the whole system. He said, you need, we'll use this one first, Cindy. He said, you need a whole network, you know, your receptionist will need more than one line coming in. You're going to have 112 students from the time you move to the new campus. And he said this to me also. That's the outline of the building, the land I'll show you now. He said, you need a whole intercom system also. For example, say Brother Duane's lecturing at the Bible College. He's with me in the office. I just buzz the cook and say, bring over some coffee and cookies, you know. So the whole system he's worked out for us, and that brings you up to date. That's the shape of the land. Ironically, it's kind of heart-shaped. What you see on King's Road at the bottom there, that's the highway, and here's the ocean right here, just across the road. That's it. So there's the land, and if you look at the building to your right, the green, that'll be our residence, as we will serve from next year as the dean with the air-conditioned guest lecturers' quarters. I need to say it's air-conditioned for the American lecturers. Then the orange, you see the lecture hall, it's horizontally facing the ocean so that the students get the ocean breezes during the lecture time. And you just go down there to the right is the kitchen with the dining hall. The two reds are the male and female accommodation blocks, and the purple there will be the restrooms with the solid partition. And right up front, we are looking in the dotted outline next to the road, we are looking at a duplex for the cook and the watch person, and a playground in the background. Actually, that's not drawn to scale. Those buildings will move way up to the right, which is more elevated, and to the left we will have four some acres for cultivation. Papayas, mangoes, cassava or tapioca, they just grow, just stick it in there. You spit out a mango seed, it just grows like that. That's what the place is like. I mean that. So that's just to show you what God has done. Incredible, and we are so blessed. Cindy, I'll just put this transparency on to follow that. Thank you. If you want to go again. Just to show you very quickly, and we're closing up, this is introduction if you'll let me. The vision of the ministry was three-pronged: to raise up and to support native pastors in the third world area. We are presently supporting through App Foundation 46 pastors in 10 nations, which are listed there. It'll take me too much time to list them, at $29 a month. Number two, constructing church buildings. We've constructed 9 simple but solid church buildings in 4 of these 10 nations. Number three, if you'll move that up, Cindy, please. Establishing Bible schools. We purchased 5 acres of land for a Bible college in North India, which is, if you are on the internet, you can track my name, but I'm not on the internet, but they found me out. And they said, there's some guy named Andrew Taylor who runs a ministry in Brisbane, Australia, who itinerates some of the time in the States, who's purchased this land and is supporting pastors in the northeastern India. I don't know how it got on there, but somebody's traced me down, and they sent a fax to somebody else who wanted to check up on me. But he deserved it for checking up on me. All right. And so we did that, and now I've just shared with you miracles about the Bible College. The 4 acres, the 2 acres extra, the way the water lines were drawn, the telecom department. And now we have the 4. If you'll move that up a little more, phase 1, 2, 3. Phases 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 will be furnishings, which I have done separately. Here's the quote we have for the 7 buildings on that previous picture you saw. $300,000 for 7 buildings. Our vision is not to do one building at a time, but to do the whole thing. Stage 1, so 290, that's, you know, like they sell shoes, $290.99. Okay, I'm just telling you the way it is. So about $300,000 for the first 4 phases for the buildings. That's $75,000 per phase. Let me share this with you. The Lord has already provided the first $75,000 in cash. We have that for phase 1. So I'll make a slight confession. Now, we'd already put some money aside for the land, remember, but then 4 acres was given to us. So we had some of that. Plus, we felt the Holy Spirit directing us. And I know some of you will challenge me. You know, when you live here long enough in the States, you squirrel away an IRA here and another investment fund there and a mutual fund and bond fund. So we thought, listen, this is far more important than all of those little, you know, little bits. Let's just, we faxed ahead and said, get all these monies ready. We're coming. We're going to take it and invest it. And one of our powers of attorney for finances in America said, don't you do that, because this is your nest egg. Listen, this is the scripture the Lord gave us. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man, but when he found this pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and bought it. So that's what we sense the Lord has spoken to us. My wife is in complete agreement with me on that. So we have complete cash for phase 1. We're believing God for the balance, 225 for 2, 3, and 4, and the construction will start in October. So you can stretch your faith with ours. I'll go further to say this. There's 8 buildings. 4 of them have already been named. There's 4 more for major donors. Okay. I'm just telling you that. There's 4 more buildings that will be named after major donors. You want to know? Okay, about $25,000 and up. That's. But I'm serious. And beyond that, we're believing God from the most unexpected sources or whatever. If this is ringing a bell in your spirit, if you know, if you can believe what God's doing, this is incredible, the time sequence in which he's done it, then join your faith with us and believe with us. And then the furnishings, which somebody's already looking at sending a carton, a pastor of another church, like with a kitchen, that's going to be expensive, you know, all the equipment. So God's bringing that to pass. There are these brochures in the back. If you want to get involved, please listen to this. Don't take this to take it home. Forget about it. Don't take it if you just want to get on our mailing list. Did you hear that? Because it's quite spiritual for people to say, if you want to get on our mailing list, pick up one. No. If God's saying get involved financially, you'll automatically get the mailing, okay? So then and then only pick this up. If not, we'll still see you in heaven. Amen? So we love you. Thank you for allowing us to share that and giving. I couldn't help but share that, Pastor Duane, if you don't mind. It's just an incredible hand of God in those ways. Those manuals. Do we have those manuals out there? Thank you. I would appreciate each couple, I mean married couple, not living together, you can repent before you leave. Each married couple, one manual, and then every other single adult, one manual apiece. If you're not going to use this, please be good stewards. Leave it back at the end, or we'll take it back, because it cost your congregation money. You know, this office here made these copies. It's an open invite from this morning to tonight to tomorrow to Tuesday, because it's one whole seminar on teaching on finances. I'm going to preface this seminar by saying this. Okay, each married couple, one each individual this. And if anybody's been missed out, then just keep your hand raised. Okay. Let me give you this as a foundation, as foundational to this whole marriage seminar, folk. One, I was born and raised in India. So it's not like, you know, born in the USA. I wasn't born with gold or silver spoon in my mouth. Yes, I ran around barefoot kicking a soccer ball on the street with my neighbor friends. I was born in one of the poorest countries in the world. Then the Lord brought us to the United States, and now he's taken us on this missions experience. I also want to say something else. We were here in the United States. Now I want to relate to you and your lives, to the average Joe Blow, you know, in the United States, in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. We lived in Leola, Pennsylvania. I was teaching at Living Word Academy. Katrina here, for example, was one of my students, Cindy, Jonathan, so on and so forth. So I was a high school teacher, not some high-flying executive, you know, in some investment resources company. High school teacher, and my wife was secretary of the church, apart from working at Lancaster County Library before that. It's important I say that because in 5 years and 5 months in this Lancaster County, notice I said Lancaster, in this Lancaster County, in 5 years and 5 months, the Lord enabled us to become 100% debt free. By saying debt free, I don't mean free of credit card debt. You're a long way from home if that's what you're thinking. I don't mean free from car payments. I mean debt free. We owed no man anything, including our mortgage was burned out. In 5 years and 5 months, I was not some high-flying executive. Are you with me? So, I share that as some, you know, it's a very common foundation for us to begin with, to come from, and now we're sharing or teaching on finances. Let me begin with these quotes. Isn't it funny how much effort it takes to read a chapter or two from the Bible each day, but how easy it is to read the newspaper? I'm talking to myself, especially now with the sports page in the Olympics. Isn't it funny how much sacrifice it seems to spend an hour worshiping God, but so easy to spend an hour watching TV? Isn't it funny how easy it is to teach your children how to play ball, but how difficult to teach them to pray, grow spiritually, or obey the gospel? Now listen to this one. Isn't it funny how big $20 looks when you take it to church, but how small when you go to the grocery store? Is it funny? Not really. I'll read that one again. Isn't it funny how big $20 looks when you go to church, but how small when you go to the grocery store? We can just spend $60, $80, $100 in a grocery shopping for the week. Not bad an eyelid. Actually come out feeling satisfied because we used a few coupons and got double coupons. But go to church, $20, you're smitten like 15 times before you can pull it out of your wallet. Then we wonder why the Church of Jesus Christ isn't able to do what it's supposed to be doing. On page one of your manuals, the motivational gift of giving. You know that there are seven motivational gifts. We're not talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. We're not talking about the nine fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. We're talking about the seven motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12, which I won't be emphasizing on right now, but tonight we'll pick up and keep going. One of those seven motivational gifts is the motivational gift of giving. It lists, for example, prophecy, teaching, serving, administration, mercy, giving. One of those seven listed motivational gifts is the motivational gift of giving. Now, to give you an introduction to what I used to be like, those of you who used to be my students in Living Word Academy, I'm not sure if you were exactly in that particular class, but one of my students said this to me when I first came. I mean, I had just come from India, so cut me a break. I was as tight as you can get, you know, financially. One of them said to me, "Mr. Taylor, you're so tight you squeak when you walk." And they were right. I was. You know, talk about teaching and prophecy, that was my motivational gift. Serving and giving, those were my wife's strengths. Husbands, listen to your wives. That's right. I know this is finances. Ray Mosholder teaches that the two main reasons for divorce is mishandling of finances and lack of communication. Husbands, listen to your wives. It really ticks me off when I go to a wedding ceremony and they begin with Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands. The verse just before that says, submit one to another. Start with that verse first and then go on to husbands. Wives, submit to your husband. Think about it. Check your Bibles later. Okay. Her strength was in giving. And any time there was a love offering or a special offering, I'm talking beyond the tithes. We knew what it was to pay tithes. That wasn't a question for us. And we'll fix you up if you have a question about that by the time the seminar is over. But when it was a love offering and special things, she would just give, give. And if I'd say like 10 bucks, she'd be saying like 30 bucks, you know, for a love offering. And it's like, but the Lord began to use that. And He began to use her to oil these squeaky joints in my life. You know, it's not really one guy. He was so tight, he said, man, somebody described him like this. They said, the last time he opened his wallet, I saw a moth fly out. Now, giving is one of the seven motivational gifts. I could be standing here and saying, oh, well, God created her that way. She's got the giving and serving, and I've got the teaching and prophetic, which, by the way, we think prophetic is very cool nowadays. Can I take a quick aside? You know, you have schools of the prophets and stuff. Just make sure it's not spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. And they're praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on people in our charismatic churches. Go to the school. I'm not saying it's all bad, don't get me wrong. But they go to the school, graduate with a certificate, hang it up on the wall, and I'm a prophet or I'm a prophetess. Give me a break. My Bible says the Holy Ghost distributes gifts several years. He wills. If you want, my sister, my brother, it'll be like Jeremiah, fire in your bones. You won't be able to hold it back. But don't try to squeeze yourself into somebody else's mold. God called me to be a teacher. Tell me, when's the last time you heard about the school of the teachers? It's not so cool, is it? We need to obey the call that God has placed upon our lives. You know the story about Elijah and Elisha. It's not just a story, it's a fact. And Elisha was following him, and these 50 sons of the prophets, 20th century charismatic interpretation, school of the prophets, said, hey, come on, buddy, don't keep bugging him. Let him go. You know what's going to happen. Elisha says, hold your peace, which in our language means shut up. Just shut up. Leave me alone. I could be polite and say he said, hush up. Okay, so he goes on, and you know what happens? Elijah is taken up. The mantle falls upon Elisha. Elisha comes back to the Jordan River, strikes the waters, and says, where's the God of Elijah? And the waters part, and he comes across in dry land, and the 50 sons of the prophets, alias school of the prophets, they pay homage to Elisha, recognize him as the new prophet. That's pretty much the ratio today. You have the in-house prophets like Elisha, who are faithful to Elijah, who poured water over his hands, who served him the food, who are faithful in the body of Christ. And then you have the outhouse prophets, like the 50 sons of the prophets. And that's pretty much the ratio today. You have the genuine in-house prophets, and you have the outhouse prophets. The problem with the outhouse prophets is that they smell like the outhouse too. There's the real thing, don't get me wrong. I could have said, I'm called to be teacher, and my motivation is teaching and prophetic, and let her be that. And so we are complementary, see? Praise God, He gave me the spouse to balance my weaknesses. My friends, that is a lazy cop-out. God wants us. What does it say about Jesus as He grew up? He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I can't be using this as an excuse. Oh, well, that's just my weakness. Well, you know what the Bible says about weaknesses. Confess your faults one to another so that you can keep them, so that you may be healed. I needed to be healed of my stinginess and my tightness. My very students and kids don't tell lies that easy, you know. They pick up real fast. They picked it up just like that. Loosen up, Mr. Taylor. And God used her and used His Word and the teaching of His Word to say, you've got to grow. Don't ever use that as an excuse for being so tight. And He began to change me, friends. Let me just quick show you one more thing that I didn't earlier. You know, they gave us the 4 acres of land. Now, we didn't have to spend a huge chunk of money on buying land. So we flew back to Brisbane, Australia, just to show you the transformation that God has brought about. We went back to Brisbane and Patsy and I were talking about this and we thought, now it's great because this money we'd save for the land, we can put it towards stage, what could have been stage 2 of the buildings. You know, because we've got money for stage 1. And we were, oh great, but you know, we couldn't rest about it. Inasmuch as he said, how can I sell it to Jesus, so I give it to you. We thought, well, okay, I'm not going to pay you because his church has a building expansion program in Fiji. We felt the Holy Spirit directing us. We couldn't rest until we made this decision to sow a gift back to that denomination. I'm not giving you figures because that's not going to glorify God, but we sowed the largest single gift financially of our lives to date, either personally or ministry, back to that denomination. That you gave it, now we give this. And we had a cover letter and we meant this. We said, we sow this back with great joy. We had to unburden. We were burdened until we gave it away. That's the right way to put it. We were burdened until we gave it away. And then it lifted and we had this release of great joy. So, you know, God's going to, you know, He's going to bring that back. He's going to multiply that. We are confident in God. So don't use that as an excuse. God wants to change us and develop us. Some of the characteristics of a giver. A, the ability to make wise purchases and investments. Check in your heart now. Some of you are givers. Praise God for that. Those of you who are like what I was, listen up. You have the ability to make wise purchases. In other words, you just don't go and buy a pig in a poke. You go and do that, and you just swipe the plastic, and you've gotten into debt, you've got bills to pay. How can you be a giver in the kingdom of God? So you'd have the ability to make wise purchases and investments. B, a giver would have the desire to give quietly to effective ministries and projects. By quietly, we mean, remember what Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Give quietly, don't thump your chest about what you did, to effective ministries and projects. I mean, I've got to just take a couple minutes here. You see why we are strong on accountability. In these United States, my mother one time visited us for 3 months. We borrowed a TV for her because we didn't have one. She listened to some of the TV preachers. I'm not, but these are facts. At least I'll tell you the guy was from Texas. And she started writing to him. You know, an elderly mother of mine, she loves the Lord. And she wrote back and said, you know, I have this arthritic pain in my left shoulder or whatever. And now she's gone back. So the junk mail is coming to us. And I'm accurate in calling it junk mail. I opened a couple. First one. Dear Dorothy, you know how it works with the computer systems today? All they do is just change the name, and in the Christian ministries, change the affliction. That's right. I hope you don't mind me telling you like it is. Dear Dorothy, the Lord woke me up at 2 a.m. this morning. But that really gets me upset. And had me praying for you. He is going to heal you of your arthritis. Notice He's never healed you. He's always going to heal you. So long as you have the affliction, please, now enclosed. Small is a little bump in the envelope. That got my curiosity anyhow. A small yellow plastic cap. Enclosed is a plastic cap. Rush this back to me with your best seed faith gift. This guy's on television, even now as I'm talking. I mean, maybe not at this moment, but with your best seed faith gift, and I will return it to you with the accompanying bottle with olive oil from my most recent trip to the Holy Land. And I'm thinking, oh my, that was just round one. There's 3 rounds in amateur boxing. Another one came. I opened it. 2 coins, You could blow them up your hand, they were so light. Same ministry. Dear Dorothy, God this, God that, he's going to heal you. These are the equivalent today of the two widows' mite. Keep one and return the other with your best seed faith gift as soon as possible. We're talking about effective ministries. Bernard was ready to be, you know, for the barf bag. Round three. I'll only give you three examples. This is real. I was here. It came to my home. I opened the letter. This was before Good Friday and Easter. Enclosed was a beautiful red velvet piece of cloth. Talk about gimmickry. Snake oil merchants. Cut this out. No bigger than 1 inch by 1 inch. William Shakespeare calls the second childhood. Give them a little activity to do. Lovely red velvet cloth. And rush it back to me with your best seed faith gift before my Good Friday service, because every Good Friday in my church in Texas, I've got this big wooden cross. And with a special golden hammer, I nail all the prayer cloths to the cross. I thought, praise God, my mother's not here. She will never see this thing. I will protect her with all my life if I can from such characters. You know what Jesus meant. He said, I'll tell them, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. But Lord, I even laid my hand on the television screen for people to lay their hands with me. So I don't even know who you are. Get lost. I'm not making any judgments on any particular. I haven't given you a name, mind you. Three examples. Later on, I'll say this to you. One major television network interviewed a couple of ministries, and this was one of the three, and it was exposed. It was also shown in Australia. I saw it there. I said, praise God, they caught the rogue. That's right. That's what I said. If you don't want to listen to me anymore, you can walk out. It's time. The purging has to start in the house of God. So love me or leave me, but either way, I still love you. To effective ministries and projects. Listen to this thought. Don't give. You know, we just shared a need with you before. Don't give because there's a need, my friend. You'd take a plane to Africa tomorrow, you'd want to take your very shoes off and walk barefoot. Because there's needs all over the world. How do you know who's fair dinkum, as they say in Australia? Who's the real McCoy? Give where God tells you. That's the key. Don't give because you could have been emotionally manipulated. Don't give just because there's a need. Yes, there are needs and genuine needs, but make sure that's where God's asking you or telling you to give. So just in case, oh, there's a need here, there's a need there, that doesn't mean a thing. Lord, Holy Spirit, is this where you want me to sow? So give quietly to effective ministries and projects. C, attempt to use this giving to motivate others to give. You know, if that spirit of giving has gotten around you, I mean, just the miracles we shared, that third world pastor donating this land, us, the burden lifted when we gave back, you know, if that doesn't motivate you, I'm sure it's motivated people already. One sister said, give, 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 be always giving. If you are giving, then you are living. If you are not giving, you're not living. What are you doing? You're just existing. Inhale, exhale, out, wait for glory. C, you'll attempt this to use this giving to motivate others to give. It's amazing how that spirit of giving will just catch on to people around you. D, an alertness to valid needs you fear others may overlook. Here's another confession from me. A weakness. Oh, Brother Andrew, but, we don't make that confession. Listen, friends, I'm concerned that we've actually developed a charismatic rosary. Only confess, rattle off this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse, type this one on my laser printer, put it up in color, tape it in my bathroom mirror, say this. Listen, you can get an Australian lorikeet to parrot all those scriptures. If it's not internalized in my spirit, it cannot be realized in my life. That bird can say it. It ain't going to take the bird to heaven. It has to be internalized. It's got to be quickened in our inner man. Then only can it become reality in our lives. And we used to accuse the Catholics for rolling the beads. You know, Jesus said, be careful, don't be like the heathen using vain repetition. Alertness to valid needs. Here's another weakness that was in my life. Until we had our child, I was quite, I shouldn't say totally, but very insensitive to nursery and childcare. It was not relevant to my life. I probably wouldn't even have known if they needed another crib in there or a changing table. So now there's no excuse for those of you without kids or those of you who are single. Just because you don't have a kid. That was a major weakness in my life. I'm giving you a tangible example. But now it's like, wow. You know, I'm not saying it. I haven't been in there. My wife's taking a little Luke there this morning. But, you know, well, I have this. Well, what about your big yard sale? Give it a break. Give that crib here. Go and ask the person in charge, what are some of your needs? How can we minister? Oh, you just want them to look after your baby for you, so it's babysitting, that's why you come to church. There are some people that are getting indignant because they don't want to get on the roster when their own children are receiving that blessing in the congregation. Now, that's an attitude, what we call stinking thinking. We say, praise God, I only have to do it once in 2 months, but every Sunday my child looked after. Come on, attitude check. So there are valid needs like that which I was oblivious to. And now the Lord's opened my eyes wide. What other areas, Lord, are there that I could have been overlooking? E, enjoyment in meeting needs without the pressure of appeals. And if you're a giver, this is wonderful. I just shared with you when we sowed that gift, that burden rolled away. What a joy. It was a great joy. You know, somebody said, if you wait till you've been asked, then you've waited too long. In other words, where were your spiritual antenna all that time? Does a pastor have to keep pounding the need over and over from the pulpit? And this morning, as that sister was sharing about workers needed for childcare, these are your children. This is your church. I mean, I know the church is universal. You know what I mean? In this corner of God's vineyard. They have been reaching out to these areas. There should be an excess of people volunteering to serve. To serve. I'm telling you, that's a very precious gift, to have a servant heart. Enjoyment in meeting needs without even the pressure of appeals. F, joy when your gifts are an answer to another's prayer. What a joy. You ever had that? I'm sure. Let me give you an example. Somebody here could have heard from the Lord. Okay, that couple, you know, they're struggling, and their daughter has just got admission and seeking admission to university, but you know they can't afford to pay the tuition. So you go ahead as a couple, God's spoken to you, you put this in an envelope, drop by, give them a visit and say, we feel the Lord's called us to cover her tuition at uni this year. Uni is university, yeah, this year. Or maybe somebody right here is sponsoring a child in Christian school. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? That's where God wants us to be. Listen to the statement, we cannot be a blessing until we first received the blessing. We cannot be a blessing until we first received the blessing. So what a joy when your gifts are an answer to another's prayer. And those parents who are the receivers and that daughter who wants to go to university praying and asking God for the money, it's like they could have tears of joy just streaming down their face. Thank you. Thank you. This is a direct answer to prayer. G, dependency on your spouse's counsel to confirm the amount of gift. I said earlier, men, husbands, listen to your wives. I'm not talking about being henpecked now. This one minister I know who is henpecked said this. Well, it's all right to be henpecked so long as you like the hen that's pecking you, he says. That was okay for him. So don't think I'm coming from that angle. No. By listen, I mean honor, esteem, valuing your wife, your spouse. We said here, dependency on your spouse's counsel. Usually, again, this is the best example I can give you from our personal lives. We are not here today, tonight, tomorrow, day after to throw scripture at you. There's enough of that happening in television ministries and others. We're just breaking our lives open before you. Here's what God did, here's how he did it, and here's how we weave the word within our lives. It's got to be made practical and applicable to each of us. Our pastor would say, okay, here's a love offering for a pro-life ministry. Now, here's how we operate right now. I'll have a figure come into my mind. Just say $30. She has a figure. I mean, we're not clones, you know. She thinks her own figure. So her figure is $50. I'll check and ask her, what's your figure? 50. And I say, well, I thought 30. So what do we do? Here's what we do. This is our life. Not our past, it's our present life. Either we go with the average or the higher figure. So it'll either be 40 or 50. That's just how we operate. No more the lower figure. But that's, I check with my spouse. Dependency on your spouse's counsel. You know, I was preaching three months ago in Australia, teaching the seminar. This came out from the Holy Spirit. I said, there could be somebody here, you know, but honoring your spouse, checking with them first, who's gone into a car yard, bought this brand new red sports car, driven home and comes home and says, honey, look what I got. And she looks through the window and sees it. And then he says, well, now you better get to work. Get a job. That, my friend, is not honoring your spouse. You have insulted her grossly. You think you've impressed her. You've insulted her. You've demonstrated a colossal state of immaturity spiritually. Guess what? In that same congregation, Pastor Duane, the man doing sound, not this brother, he had done that exact thing. It was the Holy Ghost nailed him right on the button. He couldn't bear it. Another halfway through, he walked out of the place. Guess what he did? Now, I want to give you the follow-up, lest you go and do this. That Wednesday, there was a ladies' meeting or something. Patsy was sharing. The pastor's wife came to us and said, you know that guy? You didn't know this, but that's exactly what he did to his wife. So he went out, swiped some more plastic, and bought her a new food mixer, you know, all these, and a new pair of shoes and this and that. His guilt, he thought, well, I better go and make it up and buy all these things that she likes. He's got her into worse debt. So I forewarned you, don't do something more dumb like that. You know, but that's not honoring your wife. You check with your spouse. Imagine doing that to your wife. We are commanded to love our wives, not to insult them and tread upon them. This is part of finances, believe it or not. H, desire to feel a part of the work or person to whom you give. I'm going to ask her straight. You know, this the Groob family, I know they're here somewhere because I taught their children, top kids. You know, I'm just going to ask, you didn't expect me, this is cold turkey, right? I would assume from having known them for many years that they understand the concept of tithing, they would probably pay tithes. Where do you pay your tithes? Here, as in Dove, which one? Mannheim or Dove Westgate? Now, that's absolutely right. That's accurate. You know, they would have absolutely no authority to tell anybody out there that this is my home church if they weren't paying tithes here. That would be a lot of gall to go out and say, well, you go to church, where do you fellowship? Oh, I fellowship at Dove Westgate. And if you don't pay tithes there, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. Now, please come back. This is only the morning session. Don't take me at that, okay? Now, we'll get to that. Look at this point again. Desire to feel a part of the work or person to whom you give. You heard the world saying this? Put your money where your mouth is. Sometimes all we're doing is giving it mouth, lip service. That is my church. Personally, to me, church membership in a piece of paper is not worth a nickel. Here's true church membership, active involvement in the local body, and paying your tithes. You know, technically, to be a church member in many churches in America, you only need to attend one service every 6 months. I'm a member of that church. That's disgraceful. Don't even let it be named among us, friends. This is my church. I am a part of this work. You will feel a part of the work or person to whom you give. There are types of giving. You can share material things. By the way, I'm only going to stay with page one and one other scripture. You can share material things. You know, maybe, are you listening? You have a second lawnmower in your garage. Don't wait for end of summer garage sale. There could be somebody here or a sister with five children who's widowed or single who needs something like that. Just give it to her. Bless her with it. That's right. You people here probably with two lawnmowers, just give it away. Bless somebody. You can share material things. B, you can share spiritual gifts, like in the body, music, vocally, spiritual gifts. You can share finances. C, finances from your wages, tithes. And we'll be teaching more tonight and on. We're just giving the introduction. You pay your tithes. Don't have to write this out. You have more places later on. You give offerings. You sow alms and you'll be able to invest the increase. Offerings is totally different and separate to tithes. Almsgiving is totally separate and over and above that. But I'll make this one point. You never, I've used the word giving, give a lot. Listen to this now. You never give your tithes. If you thought You were given your tithes this morning. You need to repent just for that attitude, and I'll prove it to you from the scripture before you leave this morning. What do I do, brother, with my tithes? You always pay your tithe. Now this afternoon you might think, well, I'd like to stop by Pizza Hut with the kids and have lunch. After you're done, you scratch your chin and say, well, I wonder how much I shall give them. Pardon me. Pardon me. They will hand you a receipt. Not only will you pay, P-A-Y, pay. It is not arrogance for them to expect you to pay. Are you listening to me? You will pay the bill. And you are expected, on top of that, to pay a tip. At least 15% tip. That's 15% tip. For a waiter or a waitress, you will pay God just 10% minimum. You want to give? Well, when you're paying 15%, you can say, well, I give 5% over and above the 10% that I pay. It's not just a matter of semantics and playing with words. I'm going to give you scripture. It's right there in the manual. Don't discard it. We want to be good stewards. If you're coming back tonight, bring the same manual back. Don't expect another one. You share your finances from your wages, and you can share yourself. Here am I, Pastor. I'm available. You know what that means? How do you share yourself? There are people sitting here, unless this is an exception, we're thinking, why do they have that guy up there ministering today? How come Dwayne gets to do so much of the sharing, Lester, whoever? I could do a better job than that. I'll prove it to you that's true, because I used to think the same way too. You know, that's a stinking attitude of pride. That's why you're not up here. Pride is I could do a better job. I is the middle letter of the word sin. I is the middle letter of the word pride. I is the middle letter of the word Lucifer. Who said, I will ascend up to heaven. I will be like the Most High. I can do a better job than you. Stay there. Offer your services to shove the vacuum cleaner across this carpet first. Pastor, I want to share myself. What can I do to serve this body? Want me to do the bulletin boards? I may not be skilled. I'll try. I'll give it a shot. I'll put some acne in the toilets. What can I do? Share yourself. Somebody might be sitting here thinking, I'm one of the best drummers in town. I used to play for such and such a rock group. Now I'm a Christian and they got that guy playing the drums. He hardly knows how to handle an electric drum set, let alone, you know, just example, whoever the drummer is, you know. does a pastor know how good I am? You know? The scripture equates mind reading with witchcraft. Do you want your pastor to be involved in witchcraft? How come he doesn't know what I do? Here's what you do, drummer boy. Come to the pastor and say, Pastor, don't tell him about your experience. What can I do? How can I serve? And he sees you pushing the vacuum cleaner. He'll come to you. Hey, Joe, just turn that off for a second. Tell me about yourself. What were you doing in the world? And he said, well, I don't want to talk. You know, I wasn't glorifying the Lord. I was playing in a group, rock group. Oh, really? What did you play? Oh, I played little drums. Hey, how about maybe for Sunday night we'll try you out? Because of your servant heart. Instead of sitting there thinking, I should be the drummer, I should be the teacher, I should be the preacher. Share yourself. Pastor, pastor's wife, how can we serve? What can we do? Misunderstandings, I'll tell you what, time is clicking on. I'm going to leave this for tonight, but I want to end with a scripture. I told you I'm going to prove something to you tonight, okay? Skip over these pages with me. Go on to page 7, 8, and 9. I want to end with the scriptures to prove this giving and paying business. Okay, if you thought you were giving tithes, on pages 7, 8, and 9, we've taken out from our system, computer system, every verse in the Bible where the words tithe and tithes occur. Every verse in the whole Bible. There's no more you can find. And it's right there for you. It's a gift from App Foundation. Now, to give you an idea of an attitude, on page 9, the fifth verse from the bottom, Luke 18:12. All those who thought I was giving my tithes, let me show you who had that attitude in the Bible. You remember the example of the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee thumped his chest. Jesus has given the example. And Luke 18:12, the Pharisee says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. The only time you'll find it was the stinking attitude of a Pharisee. He said, I give tithes. That's right. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Don't feel condemned, but please get convicted. That's all right. The Pharisee, Pharisaic attitude was giving tithes. Now, you want to, just for a little humor here, look at the top of the same page, Nehemiah 10:37. How do you like this for Old Testament language? And that we should bring first fruits of our dough. Way back there, the first fruits of your bread, your dough. Now, go back with me to page 8. I've given you the scripture for give, which is utterly abominable thinking to God. Now listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The second verse on the top. Matthew is very easy to remember, friends. I'm closing on the scripture. Matthew 23, verse 23. The next verse is Luke 11, verse 42, which is simply the same verse quoted by Luke. But look at Matthew now. Jesus Christ himself is speaking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you, P-A-Y. Who's talking? Jesus. Pharisee said, I give tithes. Jesus said, you pay tithes. Check your Bible when you go home if you don't trust my computer. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. I need two men again, Brother Dwayne, Brother Bob, just closing illustration, if you don't mind. Watch this, please. Jesus is speaking. He says, now, we'll just imagine we are role-playing that these are the scribes and Pharisees. Just imagine that, okay? Jesus is speaking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! And the next adjective he uses is hypocrites. Because you pay tithe. That's right, you pay what? You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, etc., down to the last leaf from your garden. But you have omitted or left out the weightier matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, faith, and peace, and grace. These ought ye, you should be paying your tithes. But you should not have left the other undone. You should not have omitted love, mercy, justice, peace, and grace. Therefore, he told them, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Now, let's press the fast forward button on our VCR. To the 20th century Christian church, you play your normal role. Jesus is still speaking, my version. Woe unto you, 20th century charismatic Pentecostal church, because you want your pastor to preach about love, mercy, justice, faith, and peace, and grace. But you don't pay your tithes. These things you should be having, teaching on love, mercy, justice, peace, and grace. But you should never have stopped paying your tithes. Therefore, you're equally a bunch of hypocrites. I do love you. Thank you. I really do love people. You'll find that as you talk to me one-on-one. And we have erred in the exact opposite of them. They boasted about paying tithes down to the last leaf in their garden. And they left out mercy, justice, and peace. And we are such a sophisticated 20th century society. Love, mercy, hug, tears down. And then here's what we sing. Listen to me, friends. I love you, Lord. Oh, and I rob the church. But he loves us, you know. Anyhow. Thank you for your receptivity. For your open heart, I need to stop because of the time frame, but we will pick up tonight and Monday, Tuesday. Amen. Brother Dan, we're just handing it over to you. Praise God.
Amen. That gives us something to chew on as we're down at Wendy's and Pizza Hut and Family Time and all the various different places we'll be after service, people's homes, whatever. But this is good stuff. This is the word. I've always appreciated Andrew because he's a teacher. He's after my own heart, my own gifting. So I love a good teacher. Because it was a good teacher by the Holy Spirit to challenge you. That's what we're to do. We're to challenge you. For you to work out your faith in fear and trembling. Amen? So we're going to be excited about this evening. We will be serving communion this evening. We're not going to do it now because of our time, but we'll be serving communion, so you don't have to pour it out, guys. We will be doing it. But we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you can help this evening, all these things will be taped. If you are working, we'll make sure that you will get a tape for free. Okay, so if you are working or serving and you want to continue in this, and we'll make sure that you'll get a tape for no charge for your service of these sessions. Okay, God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.